D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. David James is back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We await Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick, and when he joins us, he will be brought to you by a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. And the Predators and Hurricanes, Willie, both teams entered this game having won 7 of 10. Now, one of the Predators' three losses in that stretch of 10 is against these Hurricanes about a week and a half ago, and that game got out of hand very quickly.
The Canes jumped all over the Predators in the first period. The Predators took multiple penalties, and they never recovered, really. It was 3-0 at the end of the first. And it was just Carve City. They just carved them up. It's the most lopsided game that they've had on the wrong side since they started playing better, right? The low point was the 8-3 loss to the Panthers here. And that was that game against Carolina in Raleigh was a painful reminder of that, where they just weren't ready to play. I think they would admit it. So that's why I think this is a really intriguing game tonight. This is one of the best teams in the league. It's one of the best teams in the league for over the last several years, in the regular season especially. They always bring it, the Canes, so you have to play your best. They will smother you. They give up the fewest shots in the league. So if you're not playing fast, playing quick, making good decisions, they'll eat you up. But I want to see if the Predators can build on some of the good things that they've been doing. I think they feel like they've got something better in them. They were able to beat Colorado here last week, so great, great test tonight.
The Hurricanes are the top team in the Eastern Conference with a 21-9-2 record. But let's go to our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I don't say this often enough. Willie, you do a fantastic job, by the way. I want to say that.
Thank you, Hutton.
Yeah, man. I enjoy watching the broadcast.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate it.
I've never said
that's
that.
That's why I don't watch it when Willie's not doing it. I don't watch it.
Hey, man. Was that the blowout game or not? I forget. Was that the 7-2 game that you didn't do?
The game we didn't do was the shootout win over Colorado.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry, I missed that one.
It was a good game, right?
Win. Yeah. Missed a good one.
Yeah, man. No, I want to give praise where praise is due. Like, legit. That's the one sport I don't think I could do play-by-play for. I really don't.
I will say, when you turn on FanDuel Sports Network, it's going to be impossible to get Willie's head into frame after what Hutton just said.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind if you're watching the game at 7 o'clock. Why is Willie's head so big?
Hey, well, why is it only shows Willie's nose?
Yes. I have to talk to producer, director, warn him.
Yes. Thank Hutton.
Pan back.
And Adam, Mace, you guys do a fantastic job as well.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
So let's start with the question of the day. You probably heard Cam Ward's comments. Now, he was asked about it, right? He didn't just unsolicited throw that in there. But I was a little bit surprised how enthusiastically he said, oh, yeah, I want to be involved in the process. So if you were in charge, how much input would you give him?
Does he think this is college? I'm listening to his thoughts, but I mean, the way it came across to me was he wants to be involved throughout the entire process.
What was my term? He wants to be all up in there.
All up in there. He wants there to be go. All up in there. I tried to remove that from my memory. Yeah. That's why it took me a moment to remember.
Derek,
D-Mace and I had a pretty good debate on this, Hut. So tell me how you would use him.
Okay. I don't fault him for wanting to be a part of the process. He should not expect to. He's the number one overall pick, but I have an incomplete grade right now. So I don't even know if these guys that are making the hire know how to make the hire. I don't want the rookie quarterback doing it. That's just where I am on it. I hesitate. I want players' input if they're the franchise quarterback. I don't need them in the room or being a part of like the initial. So the way I understand how this goes, all right, is like they'll do some preliminary interviews They'll narrow it down. They'll then bring in people for in-person interviews. Then you narrow it down to like three or four, and you bring them in, and that's when they'll meet the owner, right, for the second interview. Again, that's kind of how it went last time with the committee. I tend to think during that process, you're going to go to the cafeteria or something. Of course, you want to talk to Cam Ward. It's not like I'm going to Cam Ward and saying like, "Hey, man, who do you want?" I can't get on board with that aspect. And maybe I'm overplaying it some, but Willie, I'm leaning toward what you're saying. Is he answered the question truthfully? I don't blame him for it, but it doesn't mean I have to give him that much like sway over how I'm going to address the future of the franchise. And that's the coach. The coach is coming in to change what we've been seeing, not just elevate one player. Vrabel was brought in to help Mariota, and instead they went with a different quarterback that elevated them to an offense and an overall team that worked with the coach and did some great things with the run game as well. You guys know what I'm saying. Cam Ward's a huge, huge piece, but it's not like they can't move on from him if he's not good. They'll have to.
As they would with the head coach.
No doubt. Hey, no doubt. The coach that Cam Ward may like may not want this job.
And he liked Callahan, and they got rid of him. My thing, Hutton, was because I think when that is being said, I think people envision him sitting in from day one, sitting in on the whole 4 or 5 hour interview, and part of that. My thing was,
he's not giving the tour of the facility.
Exactly. My thing was, okay, if you believe in your heart, if you believe that Cam is a franchise quarterback, you had to have believed because you drafted him first overall. I don't think you drafted him first overall and said, well, I don't think he's going to be our quarterback in the next 2 or 3 years. So we're going to be back on this carousel again. I think if you understand that he's your guy, after you've narrowed it down to two pieces, hey, let's say two.
Okay.
And you've brought
but
those.
No, that, Mace, that's second not what person, he said, though.
No, right? No, I know that's not what he said.
Okay.
But my when I look at the whole thing, when I look at it from 15,000 feet, my thing is, when you narrow it down to 2 to 3 people and you've had them in there once already, you bring them in for that second one, now this is an opportunity where I can sit my quarterback in on philosophy of offense and how do you expect to, you know, use Cam? What is some of his strength? And that's what Cam said, trying to figure out the strength and weaknesses, things he liked, things he may not like, or things the coach can tell him he needs to get back. That's the part that I'm talking about, because if you don't develop Cam, you're going to lose your job. They're plain and simple.
Let me say this.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, real quick, I want you to finish this. But let me jump in and say, I don't want to hire a coach who won't go speak to Cam Ward.
Yeah, you're right about that, too. So my thing is, you bring him in at that moment. Not to say he has to be a part of the whole 4 hour interview, but there may be a 30-minute period where you're talking about scheme and everything else. Oh, let me go get Cam. Boom. All right, go get Cam. Now we're talking scheme. We're talking what you like, what you don't like, how you see it. That's the part that I'm talking about. And maybe that would be best for an organization that hasn't gotten it right the last couple of years, to bring your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, bring him in and let him sit in on the philosophy of the offense, how you want to run this offense. That was my argument, not to say he needs to be in there from day one. Maybe he wants to, but I wouldn't advise that. But I would say, yeah, it would be. I think it would be good. I don't think it would hurt. I think it would be good if he sat in when we're talking about scheme.
And I think it would be great for the coaching candidate to want to include Cam Ward and get to know him before he takes the gig. But let me also add, Borgonzi was hired, and then Borgonzi, he was hired based on his philosophy, his vision. I mean, again, they went through the process of the general manager, who they say is making the decisions as a general manager. Mm-hmm. I went with his vision, who then identified Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. So I want Borgonzi making this decision. I again, if we're going to go to the leaks that I heard from Cam, and again, I don't blame Cam. He's whatever. Of course, I mean, if I'm a quarterback in the NFL, I've got the power, dude. Like, we know that. Okay, right now, number one overall, he's the future. He knows it. Despite anything we've seen right now, he knows. Unlike Will Levis, he knows he's the dude right now. I don't blame him for wanting that input, but the input that matters should be Borgonzi.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's the guy we hired, quote unquote, we hired to then identify the quarterback that they're bringing in for the job of the future. And I mean, it's Borgonzi who's invested in Cam Ward. I would leave it up to him to identify the coach that he wants. He didn't hire Callahan, is what I'm saying.
But you're always, and we know this in his game, you're always linked. He's going to be linked to Cam Ward. Borgonzi is. He's going to be linked to Cam Ward. So if that is indeed the case, I need to talk to my quarterback. Again, not about everything in the hiring process, but we do need to have a conversation with whoever we're going to hire or think about hiring as far as philosophy or as far as scheme. Yeah, he needs to be in. I would think he needs to be in on that portion of the meeting because – to me,
sure.
At that point, I think you're getting to, okay, we're almost close to signing this guy.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Uh-huh. Like, the pitch from the coach has to include Cam Ward.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's like if you're when John Robinson was hired, his whole interview process was about malarkey. I mean, they were going through a coaching candidacy, but like, kind of knew that malarkey was going to be the coach right after that interim season. I mean, that wasn't a secret, even though you try to keep it one. Like, let me also add too. Did Caleb Williams make the hire in Chicago?
No, he
not
didn't.
Not to our knowledge.
Not to our knowledge.
Okay.
Maybe that's why his dad. Maybe that's why his dad said he wanted out of there.
Maybe.
He had to do damage control.
How many quarterbacks do you know of throughout your career that had true hiring, like, impact?
I think only one quarterback that has ever had that, at least that we've known of, and that has been Aaron Rodgers. But I think the sport has changed, and we all can agree to that. Yeah, but he earned that. But I'm saying we all can agree that the sport, the landscape of sport has changed. And
right.
We have seen too many times where, you know, the input of a player is taken into account, whether it's football, we see it more in basketball and in baseball, but whether it's football, basketball, baseball, or hockey, players' input nowadays are not dismissed like they used to be.
Okay. Here's what is really going to happen, though. Mm-hmm. Amy Adams Strunk is going to talk to one of these coaches, and it's going to be her guy. He can't leave the building, just like it happened with Brian Callahan. Just like it happened with Mike. You know, we know this. Mm-hmm. Like, ultimately, it's going to be recommended by so many people, and Burke and everybody's going to say, like, this is who we think, this is who we're going with. But Amy's going to have to meet that person. That's who you have to sell.
Mm-hmm. John,
that's really what it comes down to, regardless of how we view this process. You get the recommendation of the organization, and then Amy makes the final decision. She went to Florida and met Cam Ward and his parents during the draft process.
Jonathan Hutton of Outkick is with us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Hutton, I have two Heisman Trophy-related questions for you. First question is, how surprised were you by the gap in Fernando Mendoza's win against Diego Pavia in Heisman Trophy voting? And then I'm going to ask you to elaborate on something I know you talked about on your show with Chad. I'm going to quote directly from the Outkick X account.
Okay.
Someone close to Diego Pavia needs to tell him to drop the act because he's speed running his own demise. So let's start with the voting, and then I want you to elaborate on your thoughts on Diego Pavia.
Oh, I will. Yeah. Let's start on the voting. I did not take into account how valuable championship weekend was for Indiana. Mm-hmm. I think Mendoza won it on his post-game interview.
Love that interview.
I do. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was fantastic. You know, and by the way, he crushed it in the Heisman acceptance speech. Vanderbilt, I actually think, dodged a bullet, guys. because had Pavia won, there's no telling the promo he cuts that night.
Oh, wow.
Think about his acceptance speech compared to Mendoza. He would be calling out the College Football Playoff Committee. He would be cutting the WWE promo. And going to my opinion that I said on the show, I felt like this past weekend Diego Pavia was acting. He was playing a character. It's like Johnny Football versus Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel goes to a bar. He's not Johnny Manziel. He's got to be Johnny Football. Everyone's coming up to talk to John Football.
Right.
I felt at some point, and again, I don't want to crush a guy who is you're allowed to make mistakes, right? But this is like – that's what drives Diego Pavia is being slighted, being undersized, being the underdog. He's not the underdog anymore. Like, he's won, regardless of how he's got to view it as a loss. And I think what happens is he doesn't know how to handle a win. Instead of, he's got to find the loss. I don't know if that makes sense, but he doesn't take into account that 188 people voted him as the best player in America because he's looking at who slighted him instead of who accepted his performance as the best.
But that's the double-edged sword, right? With Diego,
right? Yeah, I mean, so I, it's just, I think the other stuff is just like, going to the club and having some Woodford old fashions or something. But like, I don't want that to over. Emphasize or take away from the true great impact he's had on the Vanderbilt football program. He has allowed, and Clark Lee, Vanderbilt University just invested in football heavily. And he's without NIL and the transfer, that doesn't happen. And he's the reason. Like, he's a Heisman fight. Like, but it really just displayed more arrogance than acceptance, if that makes sense. He's trying to learn how to handle being praised instead of looked at as the guy who can't do it. And he'll take that to the NFL too. Like, that will be true Pavia. I felt like this weekend was just kind of like a script.
To be fair, Hutton, I did read a column the other day in USA Today where the author of the column, whose name is escaping me at the moment, made the case for Diego Pavia to become a professional wrestler. You mentioned the promo he would have cut if he had won the Heisman Trophy. He has an amateur wrestling background. He clearly is comfortable in front of a microphone. The WWE has a program where they integrate collegiate athletes into the world of professional wrestling. So I could see it, but your point is well taken. This is what I said the other day when we were talking about it. No one, this is what I stand by. No one who liked Diego Pavia on Saturday morning disliked Diego Pavia on Sunday morning because of his actions. Because this is who Diego Pavia has always been, at least in my opinion.
Right, but I'm championing the Diego Pavia that was prior to this weekend. I think he realizes, I think Candace Story Lee and Clark Lee handled it well. They clearly got to him and he, I've been around Pavia privately. He's not a guy that you don't want to hang out with, I just don't want him to become Logan Paul.
I hear that. But you know what? Logan Paul is incredibly successful, but I totally get what you're saying.
Sure.
Jonathan Hutton has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan and Donick. He's also a professional wrestler, so there you go. Jonathan Hutton is brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Hutton, as always, we'll talk next week.
Click, buy, print, amomentspeace.com.
There you go.
Guys, always great to catch up.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Talk
Have a good
to you
weekend.
Soon. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Hutton had to say. We'll revisit what Cam Ward said earlier today at practice that got us all frothing at the mouth, particularly Willie and Derek. But we'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.
Like to be in on the front, not hiring the guy, but as far as, you know, meeting all the candidates that they bring in and kind of seeing what they have in mind maybe for you.
I want to meet all of them. Every coach who's going to get the opportunity to come here, I want to meet them, have conversations throughout the whole process with them, because that's someone that I'm going to be here with, you know, for that time. So we got to just continue to, you know, me being around and being open to no matter whoever we try to hire, because I know at the end of the day, who we do hire is going to be the right fit for us, whether it's a defensive person or offensive person. They're going to make sure that every person, you know, in the right place and make sure that every person is set up for success.
Conversations already with Mike and Chad about wanting to be involved with this, or maybe what some of the qualities you might want?
I've had conversations with them about wanting to be involved. They know how much I want to be involved. And then especially just not even with the scheme part of it, just, you know, as the head coach, who he is on an everyday basis. And then then we'll get into, you know, the scheme, what, you know, I know I'm good at, what I want to do, what he thinks, you know, will also help me.
That was Cam Ward earlier today talking about how involved he wants to be in the Titans head coaching search and hiring process. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Pregame with Max Herr starts at the top of the hour. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, as always, right here on 102.5 The Game. Now, Derek, yes. You said at the beginning of the show, you're A-okay with Cam Ward being involved in the process. Willie, not so sure. Frankly, I'm not sure which side I'm on. I can see both of your arguments. Donovan and Franklin on our text line says, Cam absolutely should have some say on it if he thinks the coach can help him succeed. Not his choice, but definitely deserves input for being the quarterback and being the first overall pick. A lot of people on our text line who are against this idea have said that Cam hasn't earned that right because he has had an underwhelming rookie season. If Cam Ward were lighting the world on fire, I don't think a lot of people would have issue with Cam being involved in the process. But I can understand it from Cam Ward's point of view. The next coach is going to be have a significant influence on his development. And you want to make sure that the starting quarterback and the head coach, they've got a good rapport, they're on the same level, they see the game the same way. You want to make sure that they can coexist. But I also do see the other aspect of it, which is, you know, has Cam earned the right? Just being the number one overall pick and the presumed starting quarterback moving forward doesn't always give you that, you know, that responsibility. So I see your point. I see Willie's point. I think both of you make compelling arguments.
Again, it's not that, you know, I want him in on every single interview at the beginning. And I know that's what Cam said. What I'm saying is, once you've narrowed it down, there's nothing wrong with Cam saying what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked with the organization, and I'm sure they gave him feedback. So he felt comfortable when that question was asked of him, what he was thinking. But that doesn't mean, again, just because he wants to be a part of all that, he will. But what I will say is this, once you've narrowed it down, because him being a part of a search that at this point probably involves 8 or 9 guys. No, you don't need to be a part of that. No, you don't. I really don't want to be a part of it, to tell the truth. I'm saying, if I'm the GM. But once we narrow it down to 2, maybe 3, but more importantly, 2, then yeah, I think that's where you phase in your quarterback. Be up until that point, you keep him aware. You keep him updated on the guys that you've spoken with and everything else, the process. But when I narrow it down to 2 people, possibly 3, then I do want to bring the quarterback in. And, again, I'm not bringing him in for the whole 4-hour meeting. I'm just saying they're 4 hours. I don't know how long they are. But in this example, I'm not bringing him in for the whole four-hour meeting. Just bring him in. Okay, we're talking scheme or something. Okay, I'm going to bring Cam in. Let's talk, sit down, do some things on the whiteboard, and kind of go from there. Again, people, I don't know why. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a part. Like, he gets the final say on hiring. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm just imagining.
And I think people, like, they don't know how. I think sometimes, especially in a Titan situation, it's either got to be this way or that way. His prime example is Cam. Either he's showing us he can't do it or he can.
I mean,
can
Lenny,
or he can't.
I mean, Lenny on our text line says, for God's sakes, it's unlikely Ward will even be playing after the halfway point of next year.
So people didn't already – it's like nobody, like you said, nobody wants to take I don't know.
Yeah, nobody likes I don't know.
Exactly. It's like none of us know. None of us know how Cam is going to be as a quarterback beyond this season. We understand what we see, and what I see is a guy that has talent with not much talent around him. Mm-hmm. And I think – I don't know why everybody don't see that. It's like y'all beg for them to get a quarterback. Y'all beg for them to have patience. Let the patience begin with the fan base now. And I know it's hard because they've been losing – but Cam Ward was brought into a situation as any quarterback would have been, whether he was picked number 1, 15, or 23rd in the draft. They're coming to a situation where the talent on this team isn't where it needs to be, and it's going to take a minute for them to get out of this hole that they're in. So y'all expecting something from Cam that because of the things around him, it ain't going to happen right now. But you know that, but you're still writing him off. Like, he missed a pass. Oh, I'm writing him off. He can't complete a pass. Well, how about the pass he completed to Gunnar Helm on the sideline? People tend to forget. It's like what Hutton said about Diego. Diego was always looking for the negative. He ain't looking at the positive. He's always looking for the negative. And that's what fueled his career, his college career. And that's what made him the player he is, that chip on his shoulder. It's like you don't see all these throws that he's making and things that he's doing. You praise him, but the minute he miss a throw, it's like, this kid can't do nothing. Oh, he's a bust. Like, serious people. Like, I'm pleading with y'all. Just let the season end. Give this kid an opportunity. It ain't his fault this organization is bad and has been bad. He's trying to help it. Borghazi's trying to help it. Hopefully they do get that done. But y'all are just writing the kid off. Like, knowing he doesn't have a good roster. Because he's made a few bad throws. And, yes, he needs to get better. I'm not saying that. But two things can happen at the same time. And a lot of people ain't understanding that. It's like he either got to show he's the guy or he's a bust. Again, y'all were screaming and yelling, at least give Will Levis 20 games. At least give him to the next season. But y'all don't want to do that for Cam. Like, damn, I don't understand that. It pisses me off. It really does. Like, y'all understand. And I want, like, the kid, he has a ways to go. He does. He has some things that he needs to improve on. Okay? But to sit here and say that, he's a bust, they need to move on, all this other stuff. Okay, if he's in the middle of next season and nothing look better as far as him, then okay, we can start making that decision. But again, it's not like he walked in on a roster that was full of talent, full of playmakers, and he's the Achilles heel. He's the guy that can't get it right. He's not in that situation, people, and y'all know it. Y'all know it.
LD from McMinnville says, having to earn the right to have a say is such an old school, outdated, prehistoric way of thinking. If we want to see this team be successful, they should want the quarterback to be married and attached at the hip with the new coach. Therefore, let him have some input. He's not going to make the choice, but at least have some input. Like, I'm imagining, throughout this conversation, I've been imagining the show.
Little Ricky?
No, not Little Ricky. Little Derek. I've been imagining the show Shark Tank, uh-huh. And I'm just imagining the head coaching candidate in front of all of the sharks pitching his product, and Cam Ward looking like Mark Cuban with his legs crossed and then saying, for those reasons, I'm out. and you know what? Cam can be out. That's fine. It's not it's not up to Cam Ward. It's not up to Cam Ward. As I said earlier, I don't think this is a situation where Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, whoever else is making this decision, calls Cam Ward on the phone and said, Cam, it's Chad. We've talked it through. We're hiring Mike McCarthy as the next head coach. And Cam Ward goes, as my son likes to say when I tell him to do something that he doesn't want to do. No. We aren't hiring Mike McCarthy. We're hiring Matt Nagy. Like, that's not what's going to happen.
No.
So I don't have an issue with Cam Ward being involved in the process in some form. As I said before, maybe you have the initial interviews, and when you whittle down the group to your finalists, you bring Cam in for a little bit. You know, you sit down in an office. You play with the whiteboard a little bit. You look at the iPad, the Microsoft Surface, whichever one is sponsored by the NFL, and you do that.
You talk to him about the family and stuff like that.
Right, right. So I think it's well within Cam Ward's right to be involved in the process on the periphery. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not up to him to make the choice. His say doesn't have a gigantic influence on who the front office ultimately hires, but I think it's well within their right, well within his right, I should say, to at least have some input. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction to this, a lot of it on our text line, during Derek's impassioned plea to Titans fans about Cam Ward. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. Fans are filing in. The Predators will host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7 o'clock. Max Herz will have pregame for you at the top of the hour. The Predators going for their eighth win in 11 games. This is the first of, let me clarify, three consecutive home games for the Nashville Predators before they play their next seven games on the road. Now, there's a gap. They play the first game next Monday in Minnesota. Then the league takes off the 24th, 25th, and 26th for Christmas break. And then the Predators will be on the road from December 27th through January 6th.
Wow.
So we're not going to see Willie for a while.
No, we're not. Not in person, at
least. No, we're going to have him on the show, of course, but we're not going to see Willie for a while. So we are enjoying all the time we have with Willie right now. So a big homestand for the Predators. They take on the New York Rangers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, actually in the other order. The Toronto Maple Leafs on the 20th and the Rangers on the 21st, so over the weekend. So three big games for the Predators as they continue to try to keep things rolling. Joey from Bellevue says, someone give Derek a chocolate chip cookie after that rant. My goodness.
Thank you. I love chocolate chip cookies. So,
but you're passionate about Cam Ward, and I appreciate that. And there's no convincing Titans fans on either side of the debate that perhaps their view is incorrect. If you like Cam Ward, you're still going to like Cam Ward at the end of the season. If you're out on Cam Ward, you're still going to be out on Cam Ward at the end of this season. And we're going to have this debate all off season long. And when the coaching hire happens and OTAs and training camp, we're going to do it all over again. So buckle up. Matt on our text line says, I think Ward's first question for prospective coaches should be, have you watched my Tubi special? Right away, that will tell if they're more interested in him than this lifelong Titans fan yet.
Listen, I am passionate about him, but I'm not delusional, okay? There's a bias because of the organization, but I'm not going to allow that bias to cloud, you know, if I see a player not doing the things or if I don't think he is capable. If you've listened to us long enough, and I know all of you have, I'm straight down the middle. I'm only calling it what I see. Cam does need to improve, but I also see a roster that needs to really improve around him before I can even make an assessment on whether he's the franchise quarterback or not. And it's like people don't want to see that. Again, I'm passionate, but I'm not delusional. I know in this league, for a quarterback, sometimes quarterbacks hit it right away. Sometimes quarterbacks don't. Sometimes quarterbacks hit it, take a step back. Sometimes quarterbacks don't hit at first, and then they start to get better. We know the stories across the spectrum. I can throw the names out there, but the listeners, you've listened to us long enough, you know the names. My thing with Cam is just let it, let the process happen. Like, give the young man more time. Or give him time, period. It's not even more time. Give him time, period. We hadn't even got through a whole season. There are already people writing him off. At least give the man an opportunity. Because the same people that are writing him off now, next year, if he does start to develop and really come on after his first year, then those same people are going, oh, I knew he could do it. Oh, he got his – oh, it's because of the – no. This man doesn't have enough around him, and he's dealing with a coaching staff that ain't going to be here, to really truly assess whether he's going to be the guy or not. The coaching staff, they're telling you he's developing, but he ain't developing at a rate that's going to win this team a ball game. He's not. Because you know why? Because his roster's not good. And everybody knows that. Everybody, we all talked about it at the beginning of the season, how bad this roster was. But all of a sudden, now we all got amnesia. And it's like, oh, no, he can't. He ain't the guy. All I'm asking is just give the young man into the middle of next season, at least. Let's give him into the middle. Let's see how the offseason goes. Let's see what the Titans do as far as personnel. And then let's start the clock on him from there. I think the problem is, and I've said this before, and I believe it's true, y'all don't trust the Titans. That's what it is. Y'all don't trust the Titans. This could have been Cam Ward. It could have been Jackson Dart. It could have been any one of these quarterbacks. Y'all don't trust the Titans. Y'all don't trust that they can bring in someone that can develop the young man, because every quarterback needs development. I don't care how good he may start off. Every quarterback needs development, and if he doesn't develop right, you're not going to see the quarterback that he ultimately is supposed to be.
One texter says, is anyone truly saying Cam is a bust as a whole, or are they saying he's a bust as a number one pick? The answer is yes. But people are saying both. I have heard people say that Cam Ward isn't worthy of being the number one overall pick, and that's because of how people evaluated him coming out of Miami and the relative lack of oomph, pizzazz, whatever word you want to use, about the quarterbacks in last year's draft class, Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, etc. And yes, there are people who are already claiming that Cam Ward is a bust. And as I said earlier, here's where I stand on this. I think Hutton used the right term when we were talking to him. I have an incomplete grade on Cam Ward.
Yes.
I am not prepared at this moment to declare one way or the other, because that's not how I operate. I need a larger sample than 14 games to make a decision on any player or any team. I mean, the Titans have been bad for a while. I know the Titans are a bad team, and I factor that into the calculus when I'm determining whether Cam Ward can make it or not. Cam Ward has not been overly impressive this season overall.
No.
I think he's made some really impressive plays. You've seen glimpses of why people liked him as the number one pick in the draft last year, but there's been too much inconsistency. The numbers don't pop off the page. But like Derek said as well, I'm also cognizant of the fact that he is in a tough environment. His pass catchers are inexperienced. He has his top targets are fourth-round rookies. That's rare. That doesn't happen very often. So, again, this is not me saying I am certain that Cam Ward is going to succeed, because I don't know the answer to that. And guess what? Neither do any of you. And that's okay. It's like I said, it's okay to be indecisive on certain things. I know that we all want to be decisive on things. We want to be like, yes or no. But sometimes there's a gray area. And that's where I am on
But a lot
Cam.
Of people don't want to, they refuse to be in that gray area, because like you said, it's either this way or that way. There's no in the middle. I don't want to – I know the circumstance around him, but I don't care.
There's a lot of tribalism in our world right now, mm-hmm. where you've got to be on one side,
yes.
and you've got to only be on that one side, and the other side is wrong, wrong, wrong all the time. You can talk to somebody on the other side, and it doesn't matter what they say. You are entrenched in your opinion. And I know a lot of people are probably assuming I'm talking about politics. That happens, but it happens in other walks of life too. There is a lot of tribalism that you can't like you can't like two things at the same time. So that's where I am on Cam Ward. I'm just not prepared to sit here and declare one way or the other. One texter says the Titans find themselves in the gray area too much as an organization. And yeah. I do think, to the texter's point, I do think, as Derek, you just said, that the Titans have been piss poor for the past 3.5 years or however long it's been since that fateful trip back from Green Bay, Wisconsin, after the Titans beat the Packers at Lambeau Field. It's been a mess. And that factors into this. The Titans haven't made a lot of great decisions lately. And because of that, our interpretation of what they do is skewed because of that. Totally understand that. That's what we were talking about with Nick Saban earlier, right? Like Gentry Estes' column. Should the Titans give a call to Nick Saban now that he's going to be in town as a minority owner of the Predators? Should they give him a call and see if he can help fix the Titans franchise? It's because Nick Saban gives off the air of a winner. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's won a lot of national championships. And if you put Nick Saban in front of a microphone, in front of an organization, people are going to believe what he has to say because he's Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. But that goes into it as well. So I agree. I understand what the texter is saying.
Look, after and people are looking at it and they're saying, well, he hasn't had that wild game. Because people are looking at the stats. I look at last year's stats of Drake May. Now, Drake May, he's a better quarterback. As we sit now, he's a better quarterback. So I'm not sitting here saying that Cam is better than Drake May. But outside of the completion percentage, their numbers in their first year after 13 games are similar. Cam has one more game, 14. But if you look at the numbers, interception, touchdown, yards per play, they're relatively the same except the percentage. Now, if guys were catching balls, Cam percentage would be a little bit higher. But no one sat there and said that Drake May – and I know Drake May wasn't the number one pick. I get it. But there are many that said he should have been the number one pick. But nobody complained about Drake May. They said get him the right coach. Give him the right coach. And maybe because we wasn't watching him. But get him the right coach. They got him the right coach. Right offensive coordinator. Look how things have changed for him in that team. Let's wait until we at least figure out if the Titans got the right coach and the right offensive coordinator for this young quarterback, meaning next season. And then let's start making our determination based on that. I'm not saying he's Drake May, people, so don't take my words and twist them. He's not Drake May. I think Drake May is a better quarterback. But I'm saying if you're looking at the numbers, like touchdowns, interceptions, yardage per play, they're right around the same after 13, 14 games.
We will continue this conversation tomorrow. Thank you all for your participation all show long. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock in studio. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet will join us at 5 o'clock for his weekly chat. We'll talk about the Predators and the NHL with our friend Elliot Freeman. We'll also have another pair of Music City Bowl tickets to give away. So if you've missed out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you have two more opportunities to win a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl. We will be doing that tomorrow. But in the meantime, Predators pregame with Max Hurst. Predators versus Hurricanes tonight at 7. Pregame coming up next.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Wednesday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will never forget about you. See you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.